everybody, and welcome to episode number 41 of Girl Fight. My name is Nicole Tanner, and I am your host. Today I'm joined by Megan Sullivan.
What's up?
And Dana Jungle Ward.
Hi.
So it's another three-person episode. Apologies in advance, but like I said, sometimes we record with three or we don't record at all. So take it or leave it.
It's a threesome. Think of it that way.
Yeah.
Goodness. I don't need the responses that might generate.
Why do I provoke?
So actually, we may be switching what day we're recording Girl Fight in the future so that Christine has an easier time making it because she's on the new Podcast Unlocked, Xbox 360 podcast, which plans to record every Wednesday. So. Yeah.
And the double podcast days, those are tough things to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
For you those lose of you, like 2.5 hours of your day. So.
And it's also then you feel like you're repeating. You're like, oh, I got nothing new to say. Blah, blah, blah.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And tried to get some other gals on here. It was poor Stephanie is sick. So if she's at home. I couldn't track down Audrey.
I think Audrey is holed up with the 3DS probably in a corner. That's my guess. She was so excited yesterday. They brought in the 3DS yesterday. And Audrey, she looked like a kid on Christmas morning who has just received the pony they have always wanted.
Yeah, she was grinning from ear to ear yesterday. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, the 3DS got delivered to our office by a pack of models, which was somewhat interesting.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were just making the rounds around San Francisco. I mean, not just with game-specific sites, but I saw, like, Geek Sugar from the Sugar Network. Like, they had tweeted, like, 45 minutes before they were here, and she had a picture of her with all the models.
Yeah.
Yep. And the 3DS, so, yeah.
Yep, it was a big, it was a big to-do.
Yeah. And Putnam Whipple made his return as well.
Yeah.
which is always funny. So, housekeeping things. Contest from last week. The answer to the Mass Effect questions, the Shadow Broker species is a Yogg?
Yogg?
Is that how you say it?
I think so. It's only mentioned in the DLC like once or like twice. So it is. It's spelled Y-A-H-G, I believe.
Yes.
So if you sent that in, you are correct. You won.
Well, not everybody.
Well, not everyone. But the following people won.
These two people won. Jennifer Harford and Michelle Wu. So congratulations, ladies.
Woo!
We will get your apparel out to you probably tomorrow. So, and we'll have another question by the end of the episode today, because we still have a few more shirts to go out. I think we'll have maybe 2 or 3 more weeks of this contest, and then we'll be all out. So.
Oh, and then the one other thing is the IGN Australia.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So IGN Australia is spearheading a webathon?
Yeah, or game-a-thon. I think they're playing basically Japanese
games. Yeah, so obviously this is to benefit Japan after the horrible disasters that have happened there. Yeah. It's been one after another, which is just terrible.
Yeah, it's really scary. Earthquake, tsunami, volcanic eruption. I kid
nuclear.
You not. And nuclear crisis.
Yeah.
So it's really... I have friends in Tokyo and they're scared.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is really important, guys. So please tune in. Donate what you can. A small donation even helps.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if they've picked what the charity is. It may be the Red Cross. So they will be doing that. And you can go onto IGN proper for information about how to watch it. And then there will be donation things from there. So, and thanks to the IGN Australia team for heading it up.
I mean,
really cool.
There will be contributions from us here in the States as well. So it's not just IGN Australia. Yeah. But that shouldn't make a difference. You should look at it anyhow.
Yeah, it should. And they have some cool stuff planned. I won't give away what, but it sounds like they've got some really cool stuff planned. So
awesome. Cool. Okay, so that's all the announcements. So let's get going with what we're playing. Megan, do you want to start?
Sure. Well, I've been waiting, as Nicole and I shared last week, we've been waiting for our copies of Dragon Age, and we both got it yesterday. So I started playing Dragon Age 2, but I'm only an hour in, and I was so tired last night that I have no idea what happened. So I somehow got to Kirkwall, and that's about as far as I've gotten, and I spoke to the one dwarf character. So I will have more to say next episode about Dragon Age 2. I did also play more Xenogears, which came out a couple of weeks ago on the PSN, and I'm really enjoying it so far. I think somebody wrote in and asked, well, what do you think of the game? Said much, and I haven't said much because I'm only 10 hours into a 80-hour game.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to judge, but so far it gets
better
and better.
Only 10 hours.
It's only 10 hours in. That's, half of most games there. But no, I'm really enjoying it, and I'm having a lot of fun, and I think the battle system is really cool where you're like this karate fighters, but you can also get into these giant Voltron, Transformer mechs if you want and beat up stuff. And I was like, that's kind of cool. So, and usually I don't like stuff like that, but I'm actually enjoying this game a lot. It's very adult and dramatic.
Cool.
Yep.
How about you, Dana?
I have been doing, I don't know if other people do this. I do this, when things are stressful, and then you might return to either favorite TV shows or movies or books and, stuff that you read when you were younger. So I sometimes do that with games as well. So I've been doing some comfort gaming. I've been playing some of the Sly Cooper series on the recently re-released collection, and also some Lego Star Wars, just because I just want some nice things.
Comfort gaming.
Yeah.
Never heard that before.
I also went on a binge and downloaded a bunch of not new iPhone games, but big iPhone games, but that I had never bothered to check out. Fruit Ninja and Flight Control. Is it Flight Control? I can't remember. Yeah, the one where you're landing the planes and stuff. What else did I do? Oh, Tiny Wings. Tiny Birds, Tiny Wings. I can never remember.
Tiny Angry Birds.
Yeah. And they're pretty cool. Fruit Ninja is the one that I've played the most of. But yeah. And then I also downloaded today Minecraft, kind of to see
what the big deal is.
I have not been playing long enough to figure out yet what the big deal is, because I just downloaded it today. It's definitely, it's such an intriguing game, the whole concept of that community. For those of you who don't know, it's huge. Basically one guy who just started building a game and first released it a week after he'd started working on it, and he's just been kind of gradually doing it, and then he put it moved into beta, and so you now have to pay, but I think it's $20 or something. It was in euros. It's €15. It was $20 to buy it now. And it's, more than a million people have paid to download the game so far. But there's no tutorial. There's no, you're kind of going and going, okay, what am I supposed to do? So that has been my experience so far, is trying to figure out exactly what I'm supposed to do. I do love it that this game that has, nothing to do with graphics or anything. It's super blocky and, It's an interesting concept. So yeah, I've been starting to dabble in Minecraft. I don't know if it's possible to dabble in Minecraft, but I'm attempting to do that.
Interesting.
Cool. So like Megan said, I got Dragon Age 2 yesterday as well. I also started it. I think Megan's just a little further along than I am. I just got to Kirkwall, and then it was like, oh, geez, I have to go to bed. I would have kept playing if I wasn't pregnant, but being pregnant and sleep-deprived do not mix well together.
That's not fun.
Speaking of which, where is the supposed energy I'm supposed to have in the second trimester?
I never had any energy.
I was everybody's like, oh, you'll feel better, you'll have more energy, and no, that's a lie. At least for me, it is.
So you're still really sleepy all the time? Oh, okay. Yeah. I did lose that. I didn't have energy, but I just am feeling quite as tired all the time. But
Yeah, I'm sleeping 9 to 10 hours every night.
Wow.
And that's what I need.
Right.
But anyhow, Dragon Age 2, haven't played very much of it. Seems cool so far. I like that the combat has been sped up.
Yeah, I like that a lot too.
Although one thing I can see becoming a problem for lots of players who aren't used to this sort of RPG style gameplay is that it could very easily devolve into button mashing, if you don't really plan your strategy of what you're doing. It's the X button.
Yeah, the X button is very dominant.
Yeah, is attack. So it's
Yeah.
And then all your other skills you can, assign to the different buttons, but they have cooldowns and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah.
But it looks a lot better than the first Dragon Age.
Although, you say that, but I got to nitpick a little bit with the in-game world in terms of it's just very bleak. It's not very pretty, which shouldn't matter. But
well,
it's
what happens when the Darkspawn destroys the world, yes. Megan? Well,
first of all, excuse me, Kirkwall hasn't been
know. I mean, all I've seen is the aftermath of Lothering.
Right.
I just
now,
got
Lothering,
Kirkwall,
I understand, so, but yeah. I was hoping that things. And it might pick up later. Again, I'm only a little over an hour into the game, so I'm hoping that it gets better, but I just. It's like a nitpicky thing with me. I'm like, it's kind of monochromatic right now. Everything is brown and gray and more brown and gray.
Yeah, in my short time of playing,
Fallout-esque.
Yeah, Fallout-esque, exactly.
I came across a glitch already, which I've tweeted about. I'm like, wait a second, I thought this was a BioWare game, not a Bethesda game. But it was really weird. I got to some characters. You know, there was a little cutscene. I had a conversation with them, and the conversation was over, and it's like, we shall head south. And I thought we were going to get back into the action, and the game launched the cutscene that I had already seen again, and then brought up the conversation tree like I had never had that conversation.
Wow, that's fun.
I was like, wait a second.
Obviously, you picked the wrong answer.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you're not supposed to pick a wrong answer in this
right,
game.
Exactly.
So I assume that is a glitch. If it's not, that's really freaking weird. Because I picked all the same responses.
Yeah, it didn't happen to me last night. It didn't happen to me last night. So
yeah, but anyhow. So far, it seems cool. What else? Played some more Rock Band 3 over the weekend. And I just want to talk about this a little bit because there were people asking me since we got the Squire, which is the real guitar that works in the game and also plugging into an amp. The guitar part, according to my husband, as a guitar, it's an okay guitar. It's not, you know, top of the line.
So he plays real guitar, too.
Yeah, but it's not, you know, super crappy either. But one thing that he came across that he kind of, I don't think he was expecting, is that in order to get the guitar to recognize things very accurately in the game, you have to have this mute button turned on, which is this little, I don't play guitar, so I don't know. it's this little button that sits that you can press down or press up, and it just holds the strings in place, basically. So that when you're playing in the game, you have it even says in the manual you're supposed to have that thing on so that it can detect well. But it sounds like crap when you do that because like ding 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 ding.
Got it.
Ding. And so, but if you turn that off and plug it into an amp and make the guitar sound good, then the game does not recognize as well. So, you know, you'll be breaking your streak or, you know, whatever. So that's a little bit of a downfall.
That's kind of annoying.
Yeah. But my husband was like, I don't care about my streak anyhow. I'd rather just have the guitar sound good.
So when you play 3, do you do pro stuff or do you do just regular?
He's been doing pro. I've just been doing regular bass stuff. Yeah. I'll probably play with the guitar eventually.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I got burned when I had to stop with the keyboard pro stuff because I couldn't play an octave. So
really, your hands are too small to get the octave.
Too small.
My hand is really small too. I can't quite reach.
I could get an octave. I couldn't get beyond that. But yeah.
Yeah. So, and what else? Played more Dragon Age Legends on Facebook. Obviously, I've got.
Yeah, I've been playing that.
One
too.
More thing to unlock. For Dragon Age 2, and another guilty pleasure on Facebook, actually. It's really fun. The Price is Right.
The Price is Right.
The Price is Right on Facebook is really, really fun. First of all, you're playing in real time against other people. Like 11, I think it's 11 or 12 people get tossed into a game. And they show you a video from the actual show of the models, like showing off, this is the item up for bids kind of thing. And then everybody puts in their bid. And then the four people who have the best bid get called down to contestants row. Mm-hmm. And you watch another item. And then everybody bids again. And then the person who wins in contestants row goes off to play a mini game by themselves. It's like a pricing mini game related to what they have on the show. And then everybody else goes back into the bidding again. Mm-hmm. And so that goes on for a few rounds. And then the people who have garnered the most money, the two mm-hmm. people who have garnered the most money, go to the showcase, and everybody else spins the wheel, which right. and then you get a bonus based on how you place
right.
In the wheel.
And do then, people go crazy? Like, do they have, like, audience members, crazy
no,
and insane?
No, it's just
that's no fun.
It's just your Facebook picture. It'd be kind of hard.
No, I know, but you could have a GIF or something where you have, like a normal, like, picture of yourself, then you have one going, yeah! People lose their minds over toasters. I've seen people
I know.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, like, oh, I want $1 million, great. And people get a gumball machine on Price is Right and they lose their effing minds.
I know. Yes. I Price is Right was a very guilty pleasure of mine in college. And then also every time that I've been unemployed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I always end up watching it.
Scott Bromley was on it too. Like, there's a video of him somewhere being on that show.
Yeah, so anyhow, this game is really fun, and unlike most social games, it is really social because you are playing with other people and you can chat with them while you're playing.
Oh, that's cool.
And yeah,
that's a cool feature.
It's really cool. If you like The Price is Right at all, you should check it out because it's a lot of fun. They did a really great job kind of taking that concept and putting it into a game on Facebook. So what else? I had a lot of stuff this week. I saw Free Realms on PS3 yesterday, mm-hmm. Which, if you don't know, has been a hugely popular free-to-play game on PC. It's an MMO, and so they're bringing it to PS3 because it's published by Sony. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be free-to-play on PS3 as well. It's basically the same experience as what you would have on the PC for the most part. You're locked out of some content, just like you are on the PC, mm-hmm. and you have a level cap of 5 for free stuff on the PS3. However, lifetime memberships are only going to be $35. So
yeah,
it's like,
if someone gets to the level 5 and they're like, this is kind of fun, then yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really cheap. I was surprised.
Right.
It's like, my husband bought a lifetime membership to Star Trek Online, and it was like $250 or something like that. And so, yeah. And kid-friendly, you know, if you've got kids, you could toss them in there. They can play for free. Doesn't cost you anything. And then, obviously, there are premium in-game items and stuff, too. So, so that's coming out in a couple of weeks.
Oh, you reminded me of something that I saw, and this was way back at GDC, but I haven't been here since then, which is Deep Realms, which is an upcoming... I actually saw two different games from Playdom, but Deep Realms is the one that's actually targeted at a more core gamer. And mm-hmm. it's... RPG, and it has combat and sort of stuff, so it's going to be interesting to see how it played out. What kind of stunk is that at that appointment? I was already late for another appointment, so I couldn't, and I also had laryngitis, so I couldn't ask any or many questions to follow up. I was like, and so I was like, oh, forget it. So, and that's like actually supposed to be out in the next week or so. Very soon. Very soon.
Yeah.
At GDC, they were telling me a couple weeks, so...
Yeah, there's lots of encouraging stuff happening on Facebook.
Yeah.
I've talked about Buddy Rush on here, which mm-hmm. is absolutely cool. And I'm sure we'll be writing about these games soon. I think that's it. Okay, so that's what we've been playing. So we might touch on a few topics depending upon time, but the first one that we're going to touch upon is a story that has been very popular on IGN, and that is that Peter Vesterbacka, I think that's how you say his name, from Rovio, the creator of Angry Birds, was on a panel at South by Southwest over the weekend and basically said that console games are dying. These guys are getting kind of cocky.
So, yeah. So I'm saying this never having met the guy, never having seen the guy speak, just based on what I have read from interviews with him and stuff that he has said to media outlets and or in public. And I think he's just kind of a troll.
He's a troll.
Yeah, he's saying these inflammatory things that he knows, like, just to make people...
It's a smart marketing ploy. Like, it keeps him and his company in the spotlight.
I don't know. I think it's more inexperience and poor media training.
If it's a marketing ploy, then he is taking a page from the Fox News handbook of saying the most inflammatory things that he can Yeah. Without any regard for
well, yeah. Fact I don't know him. If he's looked at the recent sales numbers for certain games, but I'm pretty sure that console gaming is not going away.
Yeah. For example, Call of Duty Black Ops has sold 13.7 million units.
In the U.S.
In the U.S. alone.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I don't know what this guy... I mean, I think he has a point in that the business model of paying $60 for a game up front that has a very, you know, contained, limited experience might be going by the wayside a little bit, but console games themselves are not going anywhere because you cannot get the level of depth and detail on an iPhone or even an iPad that you can get on a console.
Well, and they're for different experiences. I mean, when I'm I don't sit there and go, gee, I want to play a game. Do I want to play Fruit Ninja or Dragon Age 2? Like, I'm playing Fruit Ninja when I'm sitting on the bus on my way to work.
Yeah,
or if I'm, like, in line at the grocery store or something like that. And if I'm, like, at home and I'm like, okay, I've got 2 hours. Like, what am I gonna? And then it's like, okay, now I want to sit down with a more immersive thing. I don't know. They just occupy different spaces in people's lives and how they interact with them. And
Yeah,
it's just, I mean, and games are changing a lot. You know, it's something that we deal with here at IGN, which, because it's a whole lot easier to write about a very self-contained, okay, you know, like a BioShock, where you're like, great, it's a 15-hour game, and we can sit there and we can write about it. And games are now, like, there are fewer and fewer games being released that just exist as they are. You have kind of the games as service things. So that's MMOs, and it's social games, and it's stuff on Facebook. It's stuff that's always changing and growing and expanding.
Yeah, and even some console games.
Yeah.
The ones that have extensive DLC.
Right. Or a game like Call of Duty where, you know, the multiplayer is a much bigger part of it. You know, people play the single player, but then the multiplayer is what then they play for months and months afterward and getting online with their friends. It's just,
They can immerse and too, like, so Dragon Age Legends, it's like you play this and you can unlock, you know, stuff for Dragon Age 2, which is a kind of a clever way to tie the two platforms together and sort of bring them together. But it's not like, you know, Dragon Age Legends will somehow outsell or outdo Dragon Age 2.
Right. Yeah.
It's just a totally different thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, if anything, the only thing that might be happening on consoles more is maybe free to play. And this is going to be interesting to see how Free Realms does on the PS3, because that business model has worked wonderfully on the PC. You know, we've seen subscription MMOs say, screw this, we're going free to play and make more money.
Yeah. Lord of the Rings Online.
Yeah. So so it'll be interesting to see how that pans out.
Yeah.
And if that's successful, then that could pave the way for more free-to-play stuff.
Right. And that's what, I mean, those models have worked in Korea and Japan for years longer than this. I mean, Nexon, which is one of the bigger ones, like they're Korean. And, you know, games like MapleStory and is it Combat Arms, you know, those were huge there forever before they, you know, they've made more inroads here and are starting to work more here. But it's like...
Yeah,
their subscription numbers, and well, not subscription, but whatever, their player base is huge.
Yeah. And just on a personal note, I have Angry Birds on my phone, but I didn't pay for it. You can get it for free. And it's one of those things where it's okay, but I'm not even really willing to pay the $2 for
it. It's 99 cents, but
I thought it was actually $2, which is cheap, and I think that's why it did well. It's just that it's not something that can even remotely compete with, you know, some of these major games.
Right. Mm-hmm. You don't, and it's, you know, with an iPhone game, the barrier to trying it out is a whole lot less. You know, it's a buck. Like, I buy a latte every morning.
Right.
It's a third of the cost of my morning latte. I could swap it out and buy 3 99-cent Facebook or iPhone games every day.
Yeah.
And it would be the same sort of thing. Although you don't want to see me if I don't have my coffee in the morning. So that wouldn't be good for anyone. And you know, whereas with a normally priced console game, like, you're going to want to do more research and make sure you're getting your money's worth, just because it's a much bigger bust. I mean, if you buy a $1 iPhone game and it turns out to suck, it sucks that it sucks, but you're only out of $1.
Yeah, you're only out of $1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so Peter Vesterbacka is nuts.
Yeah, although didn't he, and the other thing was too, like, didn't he not give credit to somebody?
I don't think anybody was actually at the panel at GDC.
No, but there was a panel at GDC, and one of the other IGN editors was there and wrote it up afterward. And I mean, I guess the talk itself was okay, but they opened it up for question and answer. And one of the things that came up is one of the guys came up and asked a question because Angry Birds was built using an open source engine. So they just use it, which they were allowed to do, but then they didn't credit the open source engine. And so the question asker said, are you going to ever credit the people whose technology you use to make your game? And he said, oh yeah, maybe. And the guy was like, okay, well, good, because I'm that guy.
Yeah.
So give me credit. It just seems like that there are a lot of kind of boneheaded moves and just kind of a sense of arrogance there. I appreciate a sense of humility. Like, nobody knows what's going to work and what's not going to work. You can make informed choices, and it's all kind of what's going on in the marketplace and a perfect storm of events. I mean, Angry Birds is a perfect storm.
Yes.
It is a perfect storm. Yeah. I can't believe it's getting a movie.
Yeah, these guys are turning into the Zynga of iPhone games.
Yeah.
And Zynga, actually, let me give them some credit. They've gotten better.
Yeah.
But when, you know, Facebook games were just launching, Zynga was this cocky, didn't want to talk to anybody, you know, claim that they were the best at everything type of people. And that's what this reminds me of.
Yeah.
So, okay. So another quick topic that we saw, Frank, how do you say his last name? Jabot?
Yeah.
From EA. Actually, we talked about the Fox News story about Bulletstorm a couple episodes ago, which was, you know, completely sensationalist and quoted all kinds of people who didn't know what they were talking about.
It was very silly.
Yeah. But anyhow, Frank Gibeau from EA came out and said that he actually liked the fact that that article ran because it brought more attention to Bulletstorm. So.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying earlier about our Angry Birds friend is that, you know, it could be a marketing ploy, highly unlikely. It could be a marketing ploy where, like, hey, it stays in the news a little longer. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, one of the points that he made, and I read this on Game Politics, was that he thinks the majority of people who are reading or watching Fox News, there's no call to action for them, really. It's like, oh, whatever, another violent video game. But the people who are actually into games and curious, they'd be like, huh, maybe I should go check this out because it's so bad. Or, you know, it works both ways.
Yeah.
And it does seem that the gamers respond very passionately, you know, when Fox News, you know, makes these really stupid claims with no sources to back it up. And then it's the gamers.
And got everyone in the games press talking about it. And there were a lot more Bulletstorm headlines in the games press than there would have been if they didn't run that article. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, no, I can totally see that. I don't see how it would hurt them because anyone who would read the Fox News piece and be outraged and take it at face value isn't someone who is ever going to be buying this game anyway. I feel like anyone who is...
And not anybody that would do anything besides, like, shake their head and, you know, move on. So
right, yeah. What are you going to do if you read that and you believe it, that it's true? Like, then what do you do with the result of that? No, you just continue your, misinformed bias against gaming as a general hobby. Yeah.
Although there's that game conference or that conference on violent video games coming up tomorrow,
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Unless you're Leland Yee or a congressman that actually has the power to introduce legislation.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you can, and he'll get to look righteously and, just all self-righteous and indignant about, you know, violence in video games tomorrow, which should be interesting.
Yeah. What Megan is talking about, the Commonwealth Club?
There's the Commonwealth Club.
Yeah, which is I think it's mostly a speaker series sort of thing. So there is a panel?
Okay. Yeah. It's got Leland Yee on it, and I believe somebody from Blizzard is going to be on there. But anyhow, they're going to be debating whether or not violent video games actually cause violence.
Yeah.
So it should be interesting. Jim Riley is going, so we'll have a news story about it on IGN.
Yes, IGN will be there to represent.
Yeah, so it should be cool. Although, I don't see it elevating to anything other than what these people's opinions already are. I mean, I think it's going to be stuff that we've heard already.
It's not. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be that kind of dialogue where it's just going to be like... And then you will be like, you know, video games are bad and violent, and the guy from Activision or Blizzard or whatever was just going to be like, you, sir, are dumb.
And there's, I mean, yeah, that's the problem is that there haven't been a ton of studies on, you know, or informed studies, well thought out studies on the topic. Most of the ones that have come out have said, you know, there's no conclusive link because there's no way to isolate, especially A, there's no way to isolate media influences from, you know, movies to TV to games.
Or music, rap.
Right. Or in the studies that have done it and have said, yes, you know, violence does cause these things, haven't isolated out those instances. And I just feel like I just don't know of anyone who has actually, you know, admitted to playing games themselves or, you know, been in some way involved in the industry. Like, I don't know anyone who has done these things who has then come out and said, yes, I think that there is an influence. It feels like the people who are afraid of them and who are being very alarmist, that they're always the ones who are like, oh, these are bad.
Yeah.
And you're like, have you ever been near them? No, but they're hurting the kids. Oh, God.
Yeah, and some of the studies, too, are just like, they're done by people who already have the predisposition to be looking for something bad, like the Center for Family and Media or something, that place, they are always looking for something bad. And, you know, so that study is, those studies that come out of there are skewed from the beginning because they're not really looking for an objective answer. Right. They're looking for the answer that they want, and they kind of skew things to make it turn out that way.
In the very same way that drug companies who sponsor studies about the safety of drugs that they have made have a vested interest in having the study turn out the way they want it to.
Yeah. Although I have to say, you know, I've said so on this podcast before, I grew up in the 80s. I watched James Cameron films. I listened to rap. I saw all these violent movies. I played all these video games. I haven't done drugs. I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't robbed anyone. It's okay. I think that now, granted, I have a very tight families, so they're, you know, my parents are always kind of there to say, hey, this is, you know, not real and everything, but
it does not happen in a vacuum.
It is not that I saw Terminator and thought that's a great idea,
right?
There's
such a thing as age appropriateness too. It's like you know, would I let my child play Call of Duty? Hell no. Never. You know, like, she's not until she's an adult and I fully believe that it's parents' job to pay attention to what your kid is consuming and make informed decisions about that. And every parent's going to come to different decisions. And I'm not saying that, you know, obviously my decisions are the right ones, but, you know, but just parents being involved and like being there and just paying attention to what your kids are doing. I mean, that's half of it.
Yeah.
More than half of it.
My nephew is allowed to play some M-rated games. He's 13. My brother has pretty much kept it to like the stuff that's really not real. So if he's like killing aliens or killing zombies or, you know, something like that, then it's okay. But like he wasn't allowed to play like a Grand Theft Auto or something like that.
Well, and so, your brother's also, does your brother play the games with him?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a lot of it too. Like you're there and you're having conversations about it, and it's not just like, oh, okay, sure, here, Jimmy, here's your copy of GTA.
Yeah.
Now go off into your room and I don't know what you're doing.
Although I have to say, if you are buying GTA for your 10-year-old boy and you have no idea, I mean, it has Grand Theft Auto in the title. I mean, I am amazed that I have seen in GameStop kids, like, and they will tell you at GameStop, hey, by the way, this is an M-rated game. It's got this violence and drug use and stuff. And some parents just like, eh.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, every parent has their different things. Back when in San Andreas, when the whole hot coffee unlock came out, and that was like the responses to that and the lawsuits that came out of that blew my mind, because like the grandmother who was suing, and you're like, okay, wait, you looked on the back of the box and it had all these things about drug and alcohol use and murder and all these things, but
not
now suddenly
that,
a
like,
digitized sex scene is like, whoa, dude.
Even the cartoons on the front, like the girl licking the lollipop, like, come on.
And you bet you
and then she was shocked.
Yeah.
And you had to dismantle. I heard that you had to dismantle the game almost to even get that.
Yeah, yeah. It was a hack. It was a total hack.
Yeah,
yeah. It's not like you could accidentally stumble across it.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Also, it's totally just easier to type boobs into Google, people.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure all these kids are doing that. That's for sure. So.
Yeah.
So we got a little off topic there.
Yes, we did.
But that's okay. It's like, this is like the issue that doesn't seem to go away, which is why I really hope the Supreme Court comes down with some type of solid wording that will make people stop. And my fear is that they're going to just say, oh, it's too vague, and be done with it.
Right.
So that's unfortunate, but that's probably what's going to happen. At least that's my prediction.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's move on to questions. As always, if you have questions, you can send those to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. First question comes to us from James. James recently picked up Dragon Age Origins, and he said that there's a sale on the DLC on Xbox Live, and he wants to know which ones are actually worth getting, as in which ones continue the story and, that type of thing. So I think you've downloaded the most of them.
For Dragon Age,
For Dragon Age, yeah.
Yeah.
So which ones do you think are the best ones?
I would say the one with Shale, the Golem one, is actually a really good one. I really like that character.
I keep forgetting that was a DLC.
Yeah.
Because my husband downloaded a couple DLCs mm-hmm. and didn't tell me about it. So I was just like, thought it was part of the game.
Yeah. When I finally downloaded the DLC, I was like, I almost feels like it was at some point because it's actually a really good DLC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That one, if you've already played the game though, like that one is super integrated.
Yeah. Return to Ostagar is okay. You do have wrap up a couple of loose ends and you get some pretty cool armor. But yeah, the one with Shale is actually my favorite. Those two are my favorite.
Are there any he shouldn't buy?
I still cannot get Witch Hunt to install properly on my PlayStation 3.
Wasn't there one where you play as Darkspawn too? Heard that one was kind of
meh. Yeah, I actually didn't get that one because I was like, I want it to continue the story. I think people are really attached to the Grey Warden, which is why I was mm-hmm. kind of disappointed when I first heard in Dragon Age 2, Grey Warden doesn't miraculously survive and somehow return.
Yeah.
They're just mm-hmm. they're just mentioned a couple of times, either helping rule Ferelden mm-hmm. or doing their own thing. And yeah, so if you're looking to continue your story with the Grey Warden, I would definitely recommend Return to Ostagar and the Golem DLC, because those are the only two that seem to be that I can remember, first of all.
Cool. Yep. All righty. Next question comes to us from Teo. Let's see. Seems like we're getting more and more relationship questions on here.
Oh. Don't turn us into Mac and Boots. Please.
I don't think maybe they're looking for serious. Like
this is fairly innocent. Okay. Teo is kind of young, I think, because he says there's this girl in my class.
Okay.
He said that we've stared each other for over an entire year. When I confessed to her that I liked her, she said we can only be friends. Afterwards, he found out that she has a boyfriend. And he said, after I confessed to her, she started to ignore me. She remained friendly if needed, but stopped staring, blah, 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 blah. And then apparently he says she went out of her way to stare at him at one point and didn't hide it at all. And she only said hi, but she kept looking at him the entire day, and he's confused. What now? Does she like me, hate me, find me weird or something? And he says she's not a slutty girl and doesn't care about boys' attentions that much, and he wants some help.
Are you staring at her? Is that why she's staring back? That would be one question, because if someone was looking at me all the time, then I would be looking back like, why are you looking at me?
Yeah.
So that is one question. Just think about if you are doing anything. I don't know. Girls are confused at that age.
Yeah.
Girls are confused at every age. I'm still confused a lot. Yeah. But yeah, you know.
Yeah, especially about boys at that age. Yeah.
And juggling it all. It's a confusing thing. Yeah. I would be able to speak to this more if I had had more interaction with boys in high school myself. My interaction, I was often the starer, not the starry. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't stress out over it. Like, I mean, I understand that you really like her, and I find myself mm-hmm. saying this so, and I feel like such an old person, mm-hmm. but it's like, if you feel like you really like somebody now, but the odds are you're probably not going to feel that way in a year or so. Like, it's very, very few people who end up spending the rest of their lives with someone they went out with in high school. So,
and I also want to say kudos for getting the balls to go talk to her.
Yeah.
So, because that's,
yeah,
that's good.
She knows that you like her. So if she really likes you back, I'm sure she'll do some other gesture other than supposedly stare at you.
And yeah. I wouldn't sweat about what she thinks.
Yeah.
You did what you could, and...
Yeah. There are plenty of other fish in the sea if she's
you
not
do
interested.
Sound like...
I know. Totally an old person. I'm a mom before I even had a baby. Okay.
Your maternal instincts are already kicking yeah. in.
Next question comes to us from Marianne, and this question was in response to our podcast about the horrible Dead Space 2 ads. On the flip side, she wants to know what we think have been the best ads for a video game.
I'm trying to remember. I've seen that one. One of the few that stuck in my head was actually, I think it was the first Gears of War game, where they played it with
Mad World.
Mad World.
Yeah, she actually mentions that.
Yeah. So I liked that one. When Halo 3 came out, they actually did a super intense, like kind of crazy ad campaign series that was. Like people, like it was like veterans. Yeah. It was like all these old guys in uniform, like looking back to like the great battles sort of stuff. Yeah. And those were pretty cool too. Those are worth looking up on YouTube.
Yeah. I actually like the first couple of PlayStation commercials with Kevin Butler. It was actually
made me laugh out loud.
Well
done. Yeah. Yeah. And I know a lot of people didn't like them, but I liked the PSP launch commercials with the
original PSP.
Song.
I did too.
Yeah. Where you weren't seeing the PSP itself, you were seeing the person playing it.
Yeah,
which I
kind of like
really
those
cool.
too.
Yeah. Yeah, although that reminds me of the worst, one of the worst commercials, which is the crying baby with the PlayStation 3.
I don't think I saw that one.
No,
you don't remember the PlayStation Mm-mm. 3 ads when it first launched, and there was a crying baby, and the PlayStation was floating, and it was really weird and creepy and crazy.
No.
How do you not remember that?
I remember
a floating PS3. I just don't remember the baby.
There was a crying baby in it. It was like a crying baby doll or something.
Yeah.
Help me out, listeners.
And I think, like I said in the Dead Space 2 podcast, mm-hmm. I really liked the trailer that they put out for the first Dead Space. Because it was a creepy rendition of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, and it was cut together really nicely. And, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah.
What else? There was, I don't remember if it was Mario Kart or... Smash Brothers, but at one point there was like live action, like you'd see somebody at a press conference or something, and all of a sudden they would just like someone would throw a turtle shell at them and hit them in the head and stuff. And there was a series of these where, like, you know, random Nintendo-esque things intruding into real life, and I thought those were pretty funny too.
I hated the DS series that they did, and they did a number of them both like in Europe and here. Where they had celebs playing them. Because I kept Carrie Underwood and America Ferrera, and I think Nicole Kidman did them in Europe. And I just kept looking at it going, I bet you none of you has ever actually played one of these games in your life, and you're just doing this for... I couldn't stop like then wondering like if there was any legitimacy to it at all. And drove me a little bit nuts.
How can you not remember that PS3 commercial? It was so traumatizing.
I will look it up on YouTube when we get back to our desk.
Like, what is this? I don't understand. So weird.
I'm sure somebody thought it was a brilliant idea.
Not so much.
Next question comes to us from Timothy. Timothy wants to know, when we play fighting games, do we tend to use female or male fighters? Well, I don't play fighting games very often, but when I do, I almost always use female fighters.
I usually use female fighters, except Mortal Kombat, it's a little more diverse because there's only one female fighter. So in order to get through everyone's stories, it ended up playing a lot of guys.
Soul Calibur is the only real one that I've is the only fighting game I've ever played with any sort of frequency. And I actually almost always played dudes because the women in that game, their outfits are terrifyingly horrible. I'm like, oh, I'm Ivy. I have my suit up my ass.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. or Tacky with her ginormous boobs.
Right.
I don't really want to do any of that. So
yeah. All right. Next question comes to us from Jake. Jake wants to know what we think about developers' tendencies to just remake popular games such as New Mortal Kombat or the countless N64 ports that are coming to the 3DS. He says he himself's tired of phrases like reboot, sequel, spinoff, and remake becoming things to look forward to. Do we think developers are just unimaginative these days, or are they just making these games because it's their job?
No, I don't think it's an unimaginative thing. I think it's a risk factor thing.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
These games cost a lot to make, and they take a lot of time to make, and it's like sacrificing you know, a $20 million game on a new franchise that may not work versus when you can look at something that you know has sold millions and millions of copies. Right. Even, and they go, you know, the business people are like, hey, this one makes more sense. And and sadly, sequels do outsell original new games for the most part, which is a huge bummer because, I don't find it very exciting. I actually think that that's a lot of the problem for the 3DS. And why, you know, it's like when they showed the 3DS for the first time, like everyone was like, wow, oh my God. And then, you know, now you have the games that are coming out and there's not a single game on there that I'm excited about. I'm like, especially because it's a lot of, like, it's a lot of games where it's just the same game now with 3D, but you're not doing anything actually cool with the 3D. Like this, like, you know, people played Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time in 2D and it was perfectly fine. So 3D, all it's going to do is make it 3D. Or The Sims 3DS is The Sims 3 on DS with 3D. And like Street Pass stuff. It's just like...
Yeah, the 3DS isn't going to get interesting to me until somebody incorporates the 3D into the actual game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just window dressing.
Yeah. And it's a, like an original like IP. Like I know the new Kid Icarus game.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe like two others are new, but it's everything that was announced for launch is basically just.
Well, and all the stuff they have in the works, I just find it kind of depressing. I'm like, really? Again? Woo!
Yeah, I mean, I'm not so much against like them pulling from their, you know, vast catalog of characters and stuff and kind of redoing something else. Like, I've been waiting for a new Pikmin game for forever. Mm-hmm. But it's just that they're not doing anything new with these things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just the same games over and over again.
Yep.
So, like, if they, I mean, I don't understand why they are not making a new original Zelda for it. Like, the DS saw original Zeldas. Like, why wouldn't, you know, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe it's coming down the pipeline. We just haven't
I'm
heard
sure
about it.
There will be another Zelda.
Yeah.
I'm fairly sure. Although we were having a couple of coworkers of ours and I were having a discussion about the Zelda franchise and that it's sort of debating Skyward Sword and does the franchise need a complete, just need to be looked at with fresh eyes? Does it need to do something to sort of get out of repetition?
Right.
And I wish Audrey was here because I would like to know her opinion on that.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And some sequels I honestly look forward to, especially when they're games that were sort of designed to be spread out over multiple games, like Dragon Age, like Mass Effect.
Right.
You know, so
yeah,
those ones make sense to me.
Just because it can have a sequel doesn't mean it should.
Right, yes.
But it will.
But it will. because it is expensive to make games, and again, the risk factor.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, that's just the business reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then, yeah, you do run into, you see, like, you can milk a franchise to death. I witness Tony Hawk.
Guitar Hero.
Warriors.
And Call of Duty will be next.
Yes.
You heard it here, folks. Call of Duty will be next. Okay. Next question comes to us from Jensen. Jensen wants to know where we think Mass Effect games should go after the Shepard arc. Like,
I'm the wrong person for this.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I don't know if there should be any more. Mass
Effect
games.
I was gonna say maybe it
that.
Should be like a God of War, where it's supposed to just end.
Yeah,
and then do something else.
Yeah, I'd much rather see BioWare go invent a new world and a new
they're
story.
They're good at this RPG thing. So yeah, there's different options, and they have their medieval, and then they have space, and maybe they could do
Jade Empire.
Yeah, it's true too.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Mass Effect world, but you know, I'm not.
I would rather it end with sort of being on top, being the winners, as opposed to, you know, slowly watching it go.
Here's what I want to see. I would like to see them tackle a real world set franchise, a real world set game, not some sort of fantastical, you know, not a sci-fi, not not a fantasy, not any of that stuff. Let hit a real world sort of thing.
Yeah.
If you look at it, like, developer wise, and this is an article I've had popping around in the back of my head, and we'll see if it ever actually comes out. But like, Rockstar is the only developer that I can think of who has pretty much stuck, other than the zombie expansion for Red Dead, is the only developer who has stuck pretty much to real world settings. Like Rockstar has never done a fantasy thing. They haven't done a sci-fi thing. They haven't done any of these things. I mean, it's extreme versions of these real worlds, but it's all real world set and movie set sort of genres, which is actually my theory on why people are always way over kind of embarrassingly glowing in their reviews of Rockstar games. Like, I think that they're all very good games and they, for the most part, deserve the ratings they get. But the language, if you look at the reviews, it's always like, this is the Citizen Kane of our, and they always go into these things. And I think it's just because they're the most like movie settings that
movie-esque.
We have.
Movie-esque, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. I'm totally up. I would be up for that. You know,
I like my fantasy settings.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, they're going to, Dragon Age is not going to be over with Dragon Age 2. Obviously, there's going to be more stuff coming down the Dragon Age pipe.
Oh, I'm not talking about, I'm just saying, like, an original, like, original title. I wouldn't mind if it was, like, you know, I don't know, Victorian England or.
Well, that's more real world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go.
Yeah, something real world set. I don't care what era. Just pick a real world setting.
Right.
Yeah.
Steampunk. Yeah.
That's not real world.
I know. What are you talking about?
All right.
This is my world.
My world. Next question comes to us from Andrew. Andrew wants to know what our thoughts are on piracy and cracked systems. Well, I've got different thoughts on both of those things. If people want to hack their system, more power to them. You know, you bought it. You should be able to do what you want with it. However, the reason why most people crack their systems is to pirate software. Mm-hmm. And that I do not like at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I don't either. Okay. It's the intellectual property thing. I don't like it when people download music for free. I don't like it when that, you know, it's like if you really enjoy this stuff and you enjoy playing these games or listening to this music or watching these shows, it's then you should support the people who are making them so they can make more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as far as, you know, I guess I can't think of a valid reason to actually hack anything other than for piracy, which is why that kid that hacked the PS3 is just ridiculous. He seems so ridiculous to me. He's like, you know, he posts everything on his website about how you hack the stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it says, oh, by the way, I don't support piracy.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Why did you do that?
Yeah. Like, ugh. It's just, it's irritating. Like, you think anybody is going to do it for any other reason.
Right.
No. I mean, you might have done it because, just to see if you can, which some Uber hacker people like to do.
Right.
But, you know, most of the world does not care about that. They just want to steal stuff.
That said, I do like it when companies, like, recognize and support, like, the creativity that can come out of it. Like, with Kinect, the most interesting things that I've seen on Kinect are things that people have hacked for it, not any of the games themselves. Like,
right.
You know, we posted there was a Minecraft hack yesterday where some guy used his Kinect to like do, like, and hooked it up to Minecraft. So then the camera was reading it and translating his Minecraft stuff into like these big tall structures that were like him or like his cat chasing a toy around. And it was just it was cool stuff.
Yeah. Next question comes to us from Ross, this is another Mass Effect question. Since we've said many times on here that we don't want multiplayer, he wants to know what we think about the possibility of kind of co-op, like, throughout the story. I think that would be okay.
That'd be okay. I just, as long as a single story mode experience isn't compromised in any way, I don't necessarily object. Like in Red Dead, you can have a single story mode, or you can form a posse, right?
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed Red Dead that way. And as long as the entire game doesn't become focused on you, it's only playable or it's only enjoyable if you have like a multiplayer experience. Because I'm you know, an older gamer who only knows local co-op from back in the day. So for me, you know, past one or two players, it's kind of like, it's getting a little crowded here. And I like my RPG being a single experience. But I know I'm, you know, more and more becoming the minority.
Yeah.
So as long as you have a single story mode option that's enjoyable, then I guess I don't have any reason to complain against it.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think it would be okay, but I'm kind of getting sick of like these everybody just throwing in co-op to these games for just to have it there. Like, I would love to see people do something creative with it that's actually different than the single player. Like, and I haven't played it yet, but looks like, you know, Portal 2 is going to be doing that. the co-op stuff is completely separate from the right. single player story. And
it looks hard.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, it does look hard.
It's
going to
involve a lot of strategy and discussion between the two people. And
screaming. You know, there's going to be screaming too.
So, it's going to be awesome.
When I saw that demo, I was like, oh, this will not be good for marital relations.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see how me and my husband do with that. Next question. We've got time for a couple more. It comes to us from Kevin. Kevin wants to know what we think of the website Fat, Ugly, or Slutty. If you don't know what this website is,
I think I can probably figure it out.
I've already halfway there, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, it's a site set up by women for them to post. They just post some of the nasty comments and things that they've gotten from gamers.
Oh, I stand corrected. Yeah. I thought it was something else.
Yeah, because the deal is like, they said, well, whenever anybody talks to me in a game, I'm either fat and ugly or slutty. So, so it's just women posting Xbox Live messages, stuff from WoW or whatever, and kind of making fun of it. And I think that's kind of cool. Yeah. I mean, if you can't laugh at it, then, you know.
If you know you're not alone, too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I know I'm not alone. I don't know. I mean, because we run into this. I don't do, you know, we've said, most of us on this podcast, we've said we don't usually play multiplayer with people we don't know.
Right.
But we do run into it. All of us have run into it at one point or another, you know, on articles we post where, I mean, it's a similar sort of mentality often. And I honestly can't look at it because it is upsetting. It's, you know, for it to be a personal attack, I'm perfectly fine with putting something that I've written and having someone disagree with it or even think it's a dumb idea. But when it turns personal attacks, I've learned that I am best off just not even looking.
Yeah.
Cause then I get upset and it's dumb to get upset about cause it's just whatever.
The other thing that I think that is cool about this site though, is that, you know, they post like screen grabs of the actual things. So you can see the gamer tags of the people who sent them and everything. So I mean, I doubt it's doing much, but who knows? It might be doing a little bit to help.
Yeah, a bit of shame the idiot who did that.
Yeah. Well, and trying to reclaim the power back. Yeah. No, I'm all for that.
Yeah, yeah. And they've got snarky comments about all of the stuff that gets put up there. It's actually pretty funny. So
yeah. Interesting. Anything to combat the misogyny, which still can shock me sometimes.
It's shocking.
Okay, I think this will be the last one. This question comes to us from Mark. Mark wants to know if we've ever looked at our corporate statement, which apparently is on the website, says, we're IGN Entertainment, a leading online media and services company obsessed with gaming, entertainment, and everything guys enjoy.
Well.
And he's wondering what we think of that. It's actually the truth. Right now, as it exists, the majority of IGN is aimed at men.
Males, like 18 to 35, basically.
Yeah. And really, that statement is on there more to get people to advertise with us than anything else. It's like to get, you know, Gillette and Slim Jim and all those guys that are sort of our bread and butter in advertising.
Yeah. And yeah, just from a business perspective, like when you create a product, it helps. Like if you have a very clear, this is our demographic, this is who is watching it, it makes a whole lot easier to sell to advertisers. It's actually much easier to sell a website aimed at guys in this age range than it is to if it was like everyone in that certain age range. So, I mean, there's a business reason behind that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. It's true. Our leadership is primarily guys.
Yeah. But, you know, at the same time, too, that doesn't mean that we're not trying to expand our audience. Which is actually part of Dana and mine's title. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's, again, it's, you know, it's a corporate thing.
And I think there's also, there's a difference between writing to a specific demographic and then writing to exclude other demographics. And I feel like IGN, and you know, it's something that you see a lot. IGN, I feel like, has come a long way in, it's written primarily for guys, hence things like babes and channels like that. But I feel like it's gotten a lot better about not being exclusive just because you are, you know, they're not saying we don't do much, and I hope we don't do any more like getting your girlfriend to play games sort of articles, which makes me want to beat my head against a wall.
I'll say that as a demographic, you know, changes, it, you know, when women continue to play more and more, that eventually when we can get advertisers for that as well, then we can change it. So.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to wrap it up this week. Did you think of the trivia question?
Megan? I did think of the trivia question.
Okay. Megan's got our trivia question. So yes. Go ahead.
All right. So in Dragon Age, Dragon Age Origins, let me be specific, one of the characters makes a hilarious reference to Portal. They say the cake is a lie. Mm-hmm. Which character said that?
All righty. There you have it, folks. Send your answers in to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com, and we will pick a couple people randomly from all of the right answers. You can also send us questions at IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/IGNGirlFight. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/IGNGirlFight. And you can follow each of us individually on my IGN. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back with you next week.
Bye-bye.